Amen.
I'll talk to you this morning. I've about talked a little bit too long this morning on other things and cut into my sermon here. And it's like a daddy talking to his family sometimes, ain't it? Daddy used to set us down every once in a while, talk to us, and boy, I knew something was going on. I want to talk about a fresh start in 2011. Boy, I tell you, God can give us one if we want it. Obviously, as these verses we read today from the book of Philippians chapter 3, Paul says here, "Brethren, I count myself not to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Look what Paul says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus." Obviously here, Paul was satisfied with Jesus Christ. Now verse 10, Paul says that I might know Him. So Paul, we see from Philippians 3, his goal was to know Christ. He said, I might know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, be made conformable unto His death. So Paul, evidently, his goal was God. And so everything we do in 2011, by the way, I can say, if your goal is God, you're going to have a great year in life, in ministry, family, personal, church-wide. If our goal is God, we'll have a great year in 2011. We'll have a wonderful year. This building is nothing but a structure. It's going to be beautiful, fantastic, but our goal is God, to get people under the sound of the death, burial, and resurrection, that Jesus died for their sin and was buried and rose again. And as she's saying this morning, they don't have to be in bondage, but He can set them free from the past and give them a brand new future. Thank God, a fresh start. And so Paul, here obviously, was a man who his goal was God. Harold, I read a story last week about Harold. He came out of the manager's office very discouraged, and you didn't get fired, the secretary asked him. He said, no, but he sure did lay me out. I can't figure it out. The past month I made my quota, but he told me when I went to office, Harold, you better get with it. The secretary talked to the boss after Harold left, and she said, well, Harold, come out discouraged. What did you tell him? He chuckled. He said, well, Harold's one of our best men, but he has a tendency to rest on past accomplishments. And if I didn't make him mad at least once a month, he would never produce anything. How many Christians get self-satisfied because they compare running with other Christians? And I'll tell them, I say, hey, get with it. They'll say, well, listen, preacher, I'm doing just as good as so-and-so over there. But listen, you're comparing yourself to somebody that's not doing anything. Paul compared himself to himself. He compared himself to Jesus Christ. And by the way, I'm in competition. I'm in a race. And guess who it is with? Who is it with? Stephen. No, it is not with Stephen. It's with Gary. No, it's not with Gary. It's with Ken Jackson. I'm in a race with Ken Jackson. I'm in a competition, and I'm always comparing myself to myself. Am I closer to God in January than I was in December 2010? Is my walk more sweet and more wonderful? Am I in a more a day-by-day talking conversation? Am I being you? Do I have fruit for God in January like I did in December? I compare myself with myself. I can't compare with other people. And so Paul here was comparing himself with Jesus Christ. Many Christians, you know, Paul here, as I think about oftentimes, we in the Bible warns us to watch out for a false estimate of ourselves. For example, Samson thought he had his old power, but in reality, Judges 16 tells us his power had departed from him. He thought he had it. The Apostle Paul is letting us see the secret of his own life. And what kind of Christian he is. You know, common sense tells us that if a carpenter is going to be a carpenter, if a doctor is going to be a doctor, or a lawyer is going to be a lawyer, or a businessman is going to be a businessman, there's some certain practices and habits they're going to need to do that type of job. And likewise, if you're going to be a Christian that God can use, there are certain practices and habits that you're going to need in your life day to day. How can you believe, somebody say, I've been a good Christian. How can you believe that, you're what you ought to be if you don't practice what God tells us to do? Now, I want to look at a few things this morning about Philippians 3. Number one is, make God's aim your aim in 2011. Now, Paul took God's purpose in service and Christ's purpose in salvation, and that was the object of his life. Now, of course, his purpose here was that he took that, of course, salvation and service was altogether different, but we're going to see that God's aim and Paul's aim were identical. 100 years from now, 75 years from now, it's not going to matter what kind of house you live in. 75 years from now, it's not going to matter what kind of car you have. 75 years from now, it's not going to matter what type of clothes you bought at Christmas this year or whatever. By the way, 75 years from now, it won't even matter who won the game this afternoon on TV. Not going to make any difference whatsoever. You know, high school, I was wrapped up in sports all the way up till I got to about 35. I quit and retired about everything I was doing. But in high school, we were so wrapped up and consumed with sports that I thought that my whole life depended on winning a ball game. I remember when we played tournaments that we'd come back on the bus, and if we lost the game, I can promise you, those players on the ball team, we were so consumed, and we thought that it meant so much that when we lost the game, we cried and wept like little babies. If anybody's ever been consumed so much in sports, you probably know what I mean. I thought life depended on that game for us to win, and if we lost, we wept and cried. But when I was converted in 1983, I began to look at life differently. You know, we get so consumed in the little bitty things in life and little miniature things in life, we believe that this is really what life is about. We get consumed in buying and selling and trading and business and money and pleasure, and we think all of this, but God says that really it's not going to matter 75 years from now, all these things, but somebody ought to wake up this morning and realize that we're dying people. We're going to have to meet God one day. We're going to have to face God one day. Somebody ought to wake up and say, hey, we're going to have to face the Lord in eternity. We need to drop these things that doesn't matter. Paul says, I'm running a race. I'm going for the prize. I'm going to win. I'm not going to lose. Somebody ought to wake up and say, hey, these things that consume us really don't matter at all. I'm running a race. Paul said, my eyes on the goal, the prize. Now, the prize wasn't salvation. That was a gift. You see, a prize and a gift are different. Salvation is free. It's a gift. It's like this morning, if I take out this pen and give it to you, that's a gift. It's like on my birthday, somebody handed me something and said, here, preacher. I didn't back up and say, well, you don't mean it, do you? I took it. It was a gift. But that's salvation. But Paul said the prize is something that I've got my eyes on. It's a goal. I'm running toward it. You see, he gives us the analogy of a runner in a racetrack. He says his feet is out there. He's running. He's sweating. He's perspiring. His arms are out. His hands are out. His eyes are even beyond that. He said, forget the past. The past is dead. You can't do anything about it. He said, reach forth. Run forth. Go forth. The prize is before you. Forget the past, 2010, and reach forth, 2011, because that is the prize, the goal that what God has for you to do. Forget the past and reach forth into the future. Now let me say this. Humanly speaking, we cannot forget the past. Are y'all with me? Here's what Paul is saying. He's not saying that God up in heaven all of us says, oh, I'm going to take out my blackboard and I'm going to I'm going to erase your past that I won't never remember your past again. Now, God, He's not that dumb. God's not that old. He don't forget. But here's what God does. When you come to that point in your life like Paul, and you say, I'm going to forget the past, and I'm going to reach toward the goal. God says, okay, you come to Christ. I'm going to take it. I've applied Jesus Christ. There's enough blood there to cover that sin. I won't hold it against you any longer. That sin may have been a transgression against my law, but I won't hold that sin against you because the blood of Christ has been applied and it's no more accounted on your record. Thank God. And then when you forget the past, Paul says, forget the past. What's he talking about, preacher? That means that something goes in my brain that just forgets all the past and all the ugliness and the garbage of my past. No, he didn't say that. But what Paul says is that if you take that and take the book of God and say, forget the past, he says, what happens if you allow the Lord in your life that the past will not influence you for 2011? Did you know if you don't forget the past, it will chain you down that you won't do nothing in 2011? But if you forget the past, it won't influence you. It won't chain you down. It won't hold you down. You say, preacher, are you perfect? No, I'm not perfect, but I have a perfect Savior. And I come to Him, and my eyes on the goal. I'm running the race, and I've forgotten the past. You say, preacher Jackson, what about the past? My eyes on the goal. I'm hustling. I'm panting. I'm like a deer going to a water brook. I'm panting after the Lord, His righteousness, His purity, His love, His service. And when I'm going, Lord, I forgot the past. What do you mean, preacher? It's not influencing me. It's not affecting me. It's not holding me down. I'm running the race, and my eye is on the goal that God has for Ken Jackson. Amen. Preacher, if you do that, you'll win, won't you? You better believe I'm a winner. You see, Paul says we can have a fresh start. I don't know about anybody else, but I do know God doesn't want us to be held down by the past. And so, oftentimes I think about this text. Go back, if you will, and let's keep your Bibles open and read one more time. He says here in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. Here's clear one thing, that we can do that. Now Paul here, after he received eternal life, he said, Jesus, you're everything to me. You know what? I pray there'll be somebody here in this auditorium today, like Paul, and will say, Jesus, you're everything to me. When Paul was converted on the Damascus Road, he said, I'm going to forget the past. I'm going to reach forth now to the future. He said, Jesus, you're everything to me. I'm giving you all that I've got. By the way, Paul run for the prize. He didn't want to be ashamed at the judgment bar of God. You see, you can be saved, I've already stated this morning, and drink liquor. You're a sorry Christian to do it. But you can do it. And if it was up to me, they'd burn in hell. And you too. And all of us. But God's grace is greater than that, isn't it? Aren't y'all glad God is not like Ken Jackson? I'm too much of a military man. But God is a graceful man. He said, I'll give you grace greater than all your sin. Woo! That'd make every Baptist shout. Run around the building and come back. Grace greater than all of our sin. But Paul says, I'm running for the prize. Why? Because I don't want to be ashamed when I come to the judgment seat of God. He says, God, you saved me. I'm going to give you everything I've got. All of it is yours. I'm going to go out and I'm going to win souls. The fruit of a Christian. By the way, anybody farms here knows, if you bury a tree in the ground that's an apple tree, if it don't bear apples, what are you going to do with it? It ain't worth nothing, is it? Is it? And did you know that God says the fruit of a Christian is another Christian? If you're not winning people to Christ and bringing them into the family of God and witnessing, and God said, that's the purpose I've given you in life. And I hear people say to me, they say, hey, preacher, I want to see Jesus come. I want to see the rapture take place. I want the Lord to come. But I'll tell them, I say, hold it. If you only knew what the book says, you wouldn't want the rapture to take place. Because when you come before God with no fruit, you're going to be ashamed. God says your works will be burned with fire. You'll get in only by blood. But if it weren't for the blood of Christ, you'd be condemned to hell because you did nothing for Christ. So when these people realize that what God says, what Paul was doing, he said, I'm running the race not for salvation because that's already been secured, but I'm running that when I meet the Lord Jesus, whom I love, whom I'm consumed with, whom I adore, whom is my servant, my King of kings, my Lord of lords. When I see him, I want to bring fruit, I want to bring service, and I want to say I gave you my best. But those people that say, hey, I want Jesus to come, if they only knew this book, they'd say, hey, let's postpone it a little bit, preacher. Let's postpone. May God, maybe he'll postpone this thing. Are y'all following me this morning? Preacher, why are you running the race for? Why do you get excited for? I don't want to be ashamed. It don't have anything to do with my salvation. Don't forget that. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith in Christ, not works, lest any man boast. But when God saved you, you'll run the race. Whew. God will put something in you, man. You'll put on the shoes. You know what we need to do? You know what we need to do at New Testament Baptist Church? We need to all get together right here and we say, hey, let's get back on the racetrack, preacher. Let's get back on the racetrack in 2011 and let's get back running for Christ. That's what I say we need to do. I don't know about y'all, but you say, preacher, I ain't planning to die. I know, nobody else is either. That little boy wasn't this week either, was he? Up there at Cashel County, about, 16, 17 years old. He wasn't planning to die, was he? Didn't even cross his mind. I tell you something, folks, you're going to have to face God. And preacher is too. That's why I'm running. I'm running because I don't want to be ashamed. I'm going to bring souls to Christ. When I come to him, I'm going to say, Lord, I've done my best. I think we need to postpone this rapture thing for a while, don't we? Can anybody say amen? Women, y'all say amen. If the men won't say it, y'all say it, would you? Well, can I get one? Thank you, April. God bless you. We teach these men we're supposed to say amen in the service. What is amen in the service anyway? By the way, we need to start right this year, don't we? And we need to start right in the service. You know what amen is? It's a confirmation when the preacher says that Jesus died on the cross and was buried and rose again. And if you confirm that in your heart, the Holy Ghost says, he's right. A man ought to say, amen, that's right. And if men, you don't say it, women, go ahead, I'm with you. The men ought to be leaders in this thing, but if they ain't going to lead and they'll sit back and drag their feet, ladies, you go ahead. You say, what are you doing, preacher? I want a fresh start this year, 2011. I want a right start. I want this church to have a happy atmosphere, a servant's atmosphere that we serve the Lord. We're running a race for the goal. And by the way, that brings joy in your life. When I meet the Lord, who can get any happier to lay their head on the pillow at night to know they've run the race for God that day? And when they lay their head down, if they meet him through the night, they're going to be happy to meet. What can give you that? There's nothing in the world can give you that, is it? Let me go on. I think here that, number one, let's make God's aim, your aim, our aim in 2011. You know, Paul had whittled down his life to that one point. This one thing I do. Paul had it, boy, I'm going to tell you. He whittled. Look with me, if you will. Go back, and I know I'm running out of time here. Look with me, if you will, back at the text. The Bible says, I like this. I like it. He says, verse 13, but this I count myself to be apprehended, but this what? This what? One thing, right? All right, listen to me. If you will. Y'all know I don't try to steal your time on Sunday and drag services out. I'll preach 30, 40 minutes. Sunday night, I'll preach 30 to 45, 50 minutes. That's fine. I don't try to steal your time. I just try to give you what God's given me. But listen to me. Paul, this is important for 2011. If you want a fresh start, listen to what this man says. This one thing I do. He knew God's goal for his life. See, every man has a gift. If you're saved, God has put something in you can do. This man can teach. This one can sing. No, maybe not. Miss Frosta can't sing. But this one can. No, not Danny. But let's see. No, not Brian. Bobby. Bobby can sing. All right. But we can all do something different. But here is, if you want a fresh start, this one thing. See, Paul whittled his life down to one thing. This is what I'm going to do for God, and I'm going to give it my best shot. And when I come before God, you know why? Listen to me, folks. Do you know why there's so much mystery in your life? It's because you have not forgot the past and striving for the goal. You have so much mystery. I hear people say, "Preacher, I got so much drama in my life. Boy, this happened yesterday. That happened yesterday. Man, I'm going to tell you what. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Can you come over Thursday night, preacher, and pray for us? We're in a mess." I say, "What in the world's wrong with you? Why you got all this mystery in your life? Why do you have all this drama? Why is something all the way, all the time, something up in the air?" I said, "Why don't you just go to your knees like Paul and whittle your life down to one thing and say, forget the crazy past. There ain't nothing it can do for you but chain you and bind you. Why don't you not let it influence you and look to the goal what God has for you and say, God, all the energy, all my life, I'm going to give it all to God." And I can tell you what, your drama will be in the past forever. You will never have drama in your life. I'm not a good preacher. I'm not even a good Christian. But I can tell you something about my children and my wife. My wife, we've been married 28 years, dated 3. We've been together 31 years. And my children serving the Lord full time. I can tell you something about our family. They never seen drama in my home one time. I'm not a good preacher. Dead sure not a good Christian. But there was one thing old Ken Jackson knew. I forgot the past and I buried it. And I said, God, that's not going to influence my life ever again. And I've been now for 27 years with my eyes on the goal. I've been running! And there's no drama in my life, period. I know exactly where I'm going. I know exactly what I'm doing. I know exactly what's going on. There's one thing in my life. I whittled life down. I don't have 40 or 50 things in my life I'm doing. It's one thing. And that's to give God my whole heart, life, soul, mind, and body. And that's pretty simple, isn't it? By the way, y'all know something? God wants the Christian life to be a very simple life. It shouldn't be complex. It's very simple. I've been saved. Now I'm going to give God my life. It's simple. This one thing I do. Well, you know, I can go on and on. I like this verse. Okay, preacher, I'm going to make money this year. Okay, then what you going to do after that? Well, preacher, I'm going to go get me a degree. Wonderful. What you going to do after that? What's next? Then I have other people tell me, they say, well, preacher, I'm going to go and I'm going to build this house. Okay, wonderful, but what's next? And they never know. They're always in a mystery. You see, Paul says this one thing. I want you to be honest with yourself this morning. Ask yourself this question. What are you living for? I know we just passed 2010. We come into a brand new year. What are you living for in 2011? I mean, be honest with yourself. Ask this question to yourself. What are you living for today? Is it a fortune you're trying to make? Okay, what are you going to do after that? Is it a position at work? Okay, what are you going to do after that? Is it knowledge at a college or university? Okay, what are you going to do after that? I want you to never cease to ask this question until we can say, my aim, God, is your aim. This one thing I do, my aim, Lord, is going to be your aim in 2011. Let me ask you a question today. Do you need a fresh start? I have enough problems in my life. I dead sure don't want no drama. How many need a fresh start today? Don't raise your hand. Well, God can give you one. How's he going to do it, preacher? Paul said, forget the past. Don't let it ever influence you from this day. When you walk out of that building, don't ever, ever let the past influence you ever again. And then turn and say, now I'm going to get in the race, preacher. I'm going to get on the racetrack with you. By the way, boy, if you're on the racetrack with me, you understand me a little bit better. It's hard to understand somebody that's running a race and you're sitting on the sideline. You can't hardly understand them. I'm going to get on the racetrack with you. And my one goal is going to be God. Whew. Woo! Hallelujah. Paul's goal was God. How many need a fresh start today? Well, God will give it to you. If you need to be saved, God will save you. Whatever you need. Let's stand for prayer. Father, thank you this morning for this great Bible verse that teaches us that we don't have to be